that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play a ball for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers, coming to you live this, well, July 27th, I believe is the date, 2019, and we welcome you here. We thank you for joining us. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to Brother Tim in Nebraska. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the Remnant. We thank you for joining us. Partly cloudy today, kind of a cloudy, cool morning. I'm still enjoying this summer, this warm weather we're having. But it was, I think, a taste of fall this morning, down about 44 degrees and cloudy, and the humidity's high and a little breezy, and it was just, it was almost cool this morning. But summertime here at the Radio Ranch. We do thank you for joining us. We've got the phone lines open this morning, have a few things to talk about. Plenty going on in the world. Thought we'd start out with a couple of those this morning. But Jason, if you'd open us up in prayer, we certainly better start that way.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We ask for your blessing upon your people. We pray, Father, that you tend to the needs of the saints across this land, and we just ask for guidance, direction, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. We pray that you just continue to guide us, direct us with paths of righteousness. We pray on that full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm. We gird our loins with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness, and we shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We put on that helmet of salvation, up the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we pray and petition for the saints across this land. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you just guide your people like that, like you did in the times of old, Father, and just continue to attend to us and be with us and war with those who war against us. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's the way we need to start our day every day, that way.
That's right. That's right. And We certainly can, and we should. I, you know, that comment you made there, Jason, in that prayer, you know, war with those at war against us. As Christians, many don't realize that we are at war. That, you know, that I think many think that it's just, well, God loves me and I love God and everything's fine and that's it. Don't forget rapture practice on Tuesday night. And there's a bit more to it than that. There is. Anyway, we do, we can, and we should ask our God to intervene for us. David did, a type of Christ, and his prayers were answered. Many times, you know, we read back, who was it, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, many of the kings that when they called out, when they prayed, when the enemy was coming upon them, they were delivered. They were delivered when they repented and returned. And that is certainly what needs to happen today in the land. Was mentioning to Jason right before the broadcast, saw the Supreme Court made a ruling Friday along the line that the president's administration can tap into military funds, Department of Defense funds, to begin work to replace fencing and basically build the wall on the southern border in California, Arizona, and New Mexico. And the enemies of our president are coming out of the woodwork, of course, accusing him of stealing Department of Defense funds to build his wall that will not do anything to help defend Americans. And I find that kind of stupid, for lack of a better word, because it sure seems to me that a wall will help. Now, it's certainly not the answer to all of our woes, but I think we agree that it would sure help. It would help stem the flow of these illegals that just walk across the unguarded border, and that it makes sense to me that Department of Defense funds would be used for it. Am I exactly off course?
Yeah.
I mean,
foreign invasion is foreign invasion. Yeah. Foreign invasion is foreign invasion, right? I mean,
yes.
I'm just astounded when I see this, and of course it's been said before, but it's just the typical newspeak of the day. You know, well, they have. What about their rights? What about their this, their that? And it's like, when they violated the rules, you know, I was watching one of the guys there talk to one of the congressmen on a hearing, and they were talking about the fact that they just wanted to really push that family separation thing. And he said, well, if you went to jail for killing someone or you went to jail for breaking any other rules, you'd be separated from your children. I, you know, the other side of that coin is the question to ask on some of those things that interest me is the fact that what about the children's rights? They should, you know, you'd want them incarcerated with you. I mean, obviously they are, but then they're a separate thing. But I'm just trying to say that, you know, there's more than one way to look at all that, and they don't belong here. That's the way it is. They've broke the laws of land to come here, and then the Bible talks about them stealing, killing, and destroying, and the statistics show that that's what they do. So that wall, if nothing else, would at least show, it would stand as a symbol, if nothing else, to
right.
the fact that you're not welcome here to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you really do want refuge here, then apply the correct way. And that's a whole another, you know, what a kettle of fish, as my grandmother used to say. But the fact of the matter is I do like the apply with merit situation that they talk about. I mean, we don't need to just have everyone. And in some ways, what we're seeing here, it's just the tip of the iceberg of a much bigger picture, as far as invasion goes and as far as everything else goes. It amazes me. One of the other things that I'm always astounded about is the fact that it's all tremendously huge deficit spending, but they quibble and squabble and over what gets spent where in regards to that. And you know, it's more, it's not really about whether the wall gets built or whether the money gets spent. It's about the power that goes on. And it makes me smile every time I see him stir them up, Trump.
Right.
You know, he definitely gets them rolling along. So
yeah, well, and his enemies are in an uproar. You know, Raul Grijalva. See, he's a I guess Arizona representative. Yeah, sounds real American, doesn't he? And he may be, but you know, this is nothing more than a pathetic ploy to build his monument to his racist policies. Well, you know, a Hispanic, a Mexican is going to look at it that way. If you're loyal to Hispanic and Mexican ways and not American ways. You know, I will continue fighting Trump's efforts to destroy our environment and militarize the border communities. And see, they're fishing. That's the bait this guy's using. You know, instead of a spinner bait, instead of a little, you know, 6-inch worm with a double hook, this is the spinner bait he's using. Destroy our environment by building the wall. I think if you've ever been down around to some of the border cities, the border communities, and you see how utterly filthy it is, and that when these people come in, that it's all we can do in as Border Patrol and ICE and things like that to get them out of that filth. But the filth that they come out of, that they're used to living in, is what destroys, if anything, is destroying the environment. It's that. And to militarize the border communities, let me tell you something. If I've got an invading force coming in, I want the border communities militarized. I'd rather have the military there stopping them than here. Wouldn't you? I mean, it just goes on and on. Nancy Pelosi, this evening's Supreme Court ruling allowing Donald Trump to steal military. No, they gave him permission. That's not stealing. There's another bait. That's a little, maybe that's a deep diver bait they're throwing out over here to see if that'll catch anything. To steal military funds, to spend on a wasteful, ineffective border wall. Steal military. There's somebody else. Steal military funds. And
yeah, there's been a lot of
it just goes yeah too. It goes on and on, and you know, I think it's interesting here. Former Texas Congressman Beto, is that how you say his name? Beto O'Rourke. I've long opposed building walls, and while in Congress, I introduced language to prevent Department of Defense funds from defending us by being used to plan or build a wall. As president, I would do everything to make that a law where we couldn't build a wall to defend ourselves. So by their own comments, these people are choosing sides. They're deciding. They're letting you know where they stand. you know, there's a I guess it's in Proverbs. I don't have it right here, but you know, you're kind of known. You can be known by the company that you keep. You know, we tell our children, you know, who to hang out with and who not to hang out with, because we know that bad morals corrupt good character, and so, you know, we don't want our children and our family hanging out with those of bad morals. And I think that a very similar moral that goes along with it is you can tell a lot by a person by who hates them. What enemies do they, do they attract? And when we look back at Jesus, you know, who hated Jesus? You talk to people today, I mean, we have some that hate him today, but when he walked on the earth, you know, who was it that hated him? The establishment, you know, those, the king, Herod, tried to kill him when he was just a baby, right? Because he didn't want anybody else to be king. He wanted to be in power. He wanted to continue to rule. The government, they were against him, the established government. And we see today that there are still some people that hate Christ, even more today, the enemies of Jesus, because sin has flourished in the land. As we hear our brother Jonathan talk about, you know, we have, and not just us here at Scriptures for America, but men, Christian men, have failed this country as watchmen on the wall. We have failed this country and the people by not standing up, by allowing this sin to flourish to where the enemies of Christ are more and more. You know, the Bible says that those that love death hate the Lord. And there's many out there that love death. The entire culture down in South America, maybe it comes from the, you know, that their culture is, ripping the hearts out of their people and eating them and sacrificing, people to their gods and their past. So maybe that's where it comes from. I don't know. But there's certainly a culture of death the southern part of, outside of our country, you know, Mexico and Guatemala and South America and Brazil and places down there. There certainly is a culture of death, and in Mexico now, because they're you know, the drug cartels and dealers are killing left and right. But we see that the enemies of Christ and who the enemies of Christ are, the same enemies that he had when he walked on this earth over 2,000 years later, those same and more. And the Christians today don't think they have an enemy. They just don't. Heard a talk show earlier in the week by a Christian group, a couple of Christian men, and this was a point that they brought out, is that, you know, that many of Christ's enemies and our president's enemies are one in the same. Who is it that voted to have God out of their party, out of their re-election party? And that's the Democrats. And who is it that are all up in arms about anything and everything that our president does? You know, we have a president that is the most anti-abortion president that anyone can remember. Now, is he perfect? Has he tore down every high place regarding abortion? No, but it sure seems like he's on that path, on defunding and stopping that abomination here in his land. And who is it that hates him? Those that love death. Those that love that know they get power from sacrificing the innocent. They get power from their small g God by doing that. And they hate our president for trying to stop that. Anyway, I just thought it was pretty interesting that, you know, here we have these Judeo-Christian brainwashed people that think all is well. And they don't even realize we're in a war. But the enemies that are out there are in an uproar. They are. And we see that many of the enemies of our president and vice president are common enemies.
Yeah, I was reading the other day in the Bible, and I come across, as I was doing some of my studies, I got led over to Proverbs, and Proverbs 23 has, was reading about envy, and that's what got me to looking on it, was the fact that they talk about envy all the time, or they don't talk about it, but they want people to envy their position of power. 23:16 is where it's at, or 17, I mean. But, you know, David said, Solomon said, do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. And the next verse says, surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off.
Amen.
And you know, we look at that a lot of times as there's a lot of bitterness creeps in, because it seems like these wicked sinners out there, they've got all of the marbles of the world, all the great things, and but we're told don't let your heart envy them, but because there is a future and your hope will not be cut off, we run on the hope of the future and the things for our, and the hope of the future is our children and our Lord and the kingdom, and we see those things, and you know, it's a long game, not a short game. It's that future hope that should drive us. And there's a lot of people out there that they have no idea. They just live life for right now. They just go on and try to get in that game and get to the top of the heap. And in the meantime, the heap's always changing. And I just thought it was significant that envy thing. It causes us to want to do. I mean, the reason those people come across the border is because of envy.
Yeah,
they want envy's that thing that makes you want what somebody else has, and basically, eventually, when it consumes you, you will try to get it at any cost or at any price or in any way. And you know, it's the same way with whatever label you want to put on them, Dems or liberals or there's communists, antichrist is what they are. But you know, they deny the power of Jesus, which is the future, and they only seek vain glory and power in the present. And I was thinking about it the other day. We say, well, a lot of times we're playing checkers and they're playing chess or something along those lines. But the truth of the matter is our God he's long term, and they're the ones that are playing checkers. They think they're not. They really think they've got it figured out, but the difference is in the perception of time and of all those things, because they may be playing for, you know, the next 40 years as far as their plans go, but God's playing for eternity. So I think that when we see that, we should be heartened as a result of it, and we should strive not to. It wouldn't say that if it wasn't a problem. You know, if it
right.
was like, well, what's that all about? You don't have any trouble. I just won't envy him, you know. No, it's innate in human nature to do that. So that's another battle that we face, is to rely on our Lord, have some faith, put that armor on that Jason was praying about, and make sure that it's a battle. And it's an ongoing, since the Garden of Eden, it's been that battle of good versus evil, of God versus of godly might and majesty versus the satanic thirst for power and destruction. And it really hasn't changed. I mean, we put new words on it, we do things like that, but it's still the same game. you know, as far as, and it, that's kind of what we see going on with it.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, we have the phone lines open this morning. If you'd like to call in, 307-745-5913. If you have a question or a comment, and we'll do our best to get you on the air. 307-745-5913. Well, Jason, you've been awful quiet, probably drinking all your coffee this morning. What are your thoughts along these lines?
Oh, I really don't have a whole lot of thoughts along those lines.
Well, any other lines?
Yeah, you've been watching what's been happening in California. It's been pretty interesting. I mean, just even the aftermath after this fire last year is still just, devastating the state. You talk about corruption, fires, invasion of rats. It's been, you know, pretty crazy. PG&E is the power company out there, and it's like, what do you do? I mean, they did determine that these fires were caused by power lines that belonged to PG&E. As soon as that happens, people start suing them. After PG&E's electrical transmission lines were determined by the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection to be the culprit behind the fire became liable for these damages. The liabilities are estimated to be in excess of $30 billion, and when they only had $1.5 billion worth of fire coverage insurance, that's quite a discrepancy. And, you've had people that have started suing the power company. Well, the power companies filed bankruptcy. And it's, you talk about what the biggest power company in the United States, that supplies, supplies the power to basically, they own the solar plants, they own the wind generation plants, they own the hydro plants, they own the nuclear plants. You're talking about a big company. And they're going bankrupt, so they're not sure how that's going to hit, where that's headed or how that's going to turn out. But, you know, just a mess on top of, you know, still cleaning up after the aftermath. When you're talking about the deadliest fire, one of the deadliest fires in the United States, if not the deadliest, killed over 85 people, 19,000 houses burned up. They're still recovering from that. Southern California, on the other side of the state, is getting hit by the plague of rats. And, there's been a lot of people that, we've known the rats have been there for a long time, but, this is actually a literal rat.
Yeah.
And, they've had the demon rats, they've had the rats in politics, but I'll tell you what, the streets are just getting infested, and it seems like the more poison they put out, the more rats show up. They said that it's just, common just to see just herds of them just running across the street, down the ditches, and everything, everywhere you go down there right now. It's what they're calling a plague. So it's
Hallelujah.
So it's go ahead.
No, I just think it's I had just read something on that too not too long back, and I think it. The rats show up and the diseases. They were talking about calling Los Angeles Los Ratus, but I wanted to jump back to your comment on PG&E because one of the things that was interesting to me was they claimed that those fires were caused by brush around the power lines, one thing or another that couldn't be. And, that's part of the maintenance procedure of those companies is to keep that brush knocked down and away from the power line so that sparks and different things when those lines slap together, things don't create fires. But, of course, in California, you can't cut down a tree or you can't cut any brush because of the EPA, they're not EPA regs, but whatever department takes care of that there. Yeah, so... whose fault is it really? You know, yeah.
Yeah, good point. Well, guys, let's try the phone lines here. Got a caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, men. I just wanted to make a comment on what you were talking about the border here recently. The method that most nations use when pre-invasion, it's the pre-positioning of men and equipment in the target country. I'm going by memory here.
Yes.
So we have already seen like over 100,000 showing up at our borders every month. And maybe 15 years ago, a shipping container was found at one of these ports on the West Coast, and it was full of AK-47s. So I believe the weapons and so forth are already pre-positioned here, and these people coming across the border are going to be using them, or at least some of them. And I also believe personally that the American people are never going to repent as long as there's power on and heat in their homes and football on TV and liquor at the liquor store. And that's just my opinion.
I think it's a pretty valid opinion. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure could be. Hey, thank you for your... Where are you calling from this morning?
Ohio.
Ohio. Hey, thank you, sir. Have a great day.
All right, thank you. Bye.
All right. You know, we read about that many times repentance doesn't come all through Isaiah and Jeremiah until it gets as bad as it can be. You know, Jason, you talking about California, it sure seems like that it's headed right there. What do they expect the power company to do? Just turn the switch off? Pay $30 billion in claims and lawsuits? And then what?
Well, and that's what happens all over is people, you know, they get so happy. They think that, you know, because somebody has something, they should have a part of it. And, you know, I mean, it's you know, talk about bankrupting companies, bankrupting their government. You know, the government comes out and says, okay, well, we're going to help you guys out, and we're going to open up this fund for rebuilding, and they put $21 billion into a fund for the fire relief. You know, that doesn't even scratch the surface. You know, you're talking 19,000 houses that are some of the richest houses in the United States. You know, not to count the roads and the power lines. I mean, the infrastructure that was completely wiped out from, you know, I mean, you're talking, 19,000 homes is a good sized city. You know, that's a good sized town. I mean, you figure 19,000 houses and then the average two or three people into a house, you know, that's the population of 50,000 to 60,000 people.
Yep. For sure.
I mean, and you're talking gone. I mean, that's not even partial. So that was the ones that were completely destroyed. I mean, that's the size of Fort Collins. Towns, all the houses gone. You know, and you think about the time of rebuilding that, and it's like, man, you know, and you know, it goes back to, you know, the governor over there. He was the one that they actually went back and tried to get him to, like Tim was saying, tried to get him to be able to clean up some of that stuff and to open up those waterways and those to keep those Forest Service roads open and everything. Well, they couldn't do it. Nobody could do it. You know, it was illegal to cut the brush. You know, at that point in time, they should have shut them down then, you know, because, I mean, it was anybody that's been in the tree trimming business long enough or very long or in, you know, the power business knows that, that's one of the things that, you know, the power lines are always getting worked on. They're always getting worked on somewhere in every county across the United States is you're cleaning power lines up.
That's right. All the time.
Absolutely.
All the time.
And the other thing is the ramifications of having this company go broke, and I'm not going to debate the ethics of PG&E at this right now, but think of the number of people that they employ. I mean, I don't know what it is, but I'm sure they employ a small city as well. You know, with the people to whether directly or indirectly, but they. To keep the power on and running, to keep the lines cleaned up, to keep the trucks maintenanced and serviced, and to keep all their equipment in operation, that ought to help their homeless issue there, you know, to have a company like that go broke and, you know, basically not be able to pay its workers or anything else. And one of the other issues I've seen in that, Jason, that you were talking about that was interesting was, like you said, those houses over there that burned down, that's some of the most expensive real estate in the United States. I mean, you know, on average.
Yes.
And they put this money in to rebuild it, but yet they're kicking those people off that ground. No, you can't rebuild there. You know, that's because it's... So that's another kind of relocation. I mean, that kind of plays back into what Agenda 21, isn't it, or whatever they've named it now. But, you know, they want to relocate and basically take those people's property away from them. And that's an underlying thing there that also plays into that. Let's crowd them all into where, you know, over there.
Yes.
Very interesting stuff going on in regards to that. And then I also heard on the rat thing that they were saying bubonic plague is coming way up in certain areas. I don't know whether that was L.A., but had you heard something about that as far as...
No, I haven't heard that specifically, but any time that there's an infestation of rats, the bubonic plague goes up, and, I mean, just the plagues, all the different plagues go up, you know, kind of at once. Yep. You know, that's what they do, is they spread disease, that's for sure.
Yes. Yes, they carry the fleas.
Oh.
They carry the disease. You'll hear that every now and then. You know, a homeowner out in the country in Colorado or Nevada or somewhere that you know is bringing wild squirrels in their house and feeding them, or handling dead prairie dogs or something like that. You know that they'll contract the plague and die, and so it's out there, but it's controlled in non-third world countries, which is what we have been since our inception, this country of America, not a third world country, but a first world country. And we've kept the population of rats and mice and things like that, wolves, in check, to where they don't come up and destroy our society. But California is a whole new game. They play by their own rules. And, you know, when you just, when anything goes, San Francisco, L.A., you know, why would you not have an infestation of rats? That seems like just the next step.
Well, as our pastor used to talk about the parasites, and I think that's the bottom line. You see, the parasites, this is what happens when parasites run things. I mean, it's a sign,
yeah,
for God's people. I mean, when you look at it, you see those things going on over there. I think that another sign, and it's showing up in California too, is the earthquakes and the things that are going on there. There's a tremendous... You want to talk about a place in upheaval. I mean, you can look on practically any front over in that state that you'd like to, whether it's alien invaders, and I'm not talking about green men, but or whether you, you know, rat infestations, and they've got... moral decay. I mean, the moral decay going on is astounding. And then you look at geological, and you know, geological, biological. Even the weather over there is messed up. I mean, and you know, you say, well, who's in control of all that? I mean, who does all that? The Lord God of Heaven controls all those things, and He told us what He would put on people when they won't follow His ways and do what He tells us to do. And it's like prophecy unfolding over there to look at that. You know, it's just astounding to me when I look at it. And I don't know why it should be astounding, because he told us he'd do it, and it's being done right before their eyes. And he also said that, you know, people that they don't repent, that they don't, you know, those workers of iniquity, that they're righteous in their own eyes. They, you know, he said, what did he say, that great horror in Revelation? He said, she wipes her mouth and says, I've done no wrong, you know. And you look at people like Pelosi and some of those guys, and that's just about exactly their attitude. It's like, well, it's that way because I say it'll be that way. And God has a different idea on it, I think. I know. So.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And what does the Bible tell us time and time again? Not just in Revelation. In Jeremiah 51:45, come forth from her midst, my people, and each of you save yourselves. And they probably didn't understand that back in Jeremiah's day, how to do that. And many don't understand it today. But come forth from her. Come out of her, my people, and be saved. Is an important part of the gospel. You know, you can't love this world and God. And you can't love the world's ways and His ways. And so you can't serve man, and it's summarized as wealth, right? Mammon, man and wealth, you can't. And I think we're seeing in California those that think that they can just do it on their own. You know, tree hugging, they have this false morality. Oh, we have to save the spotted owl. We have to save the trees. You can't cut the tree down. The tree has feelings. How would you feel if you were cut down? And that's the mentality of many of these. And it does directly contribute to the heavy fuel load that causes, or that helps these massive fires grow into these massive fires that they've had, record-setting fires every year. And Jason, I'm glad you brought that up about Paradise, California burning last year, because, you know, we have these record fires, but it's not every year that these fires burn down a town of, what, 30, 40, 50,000 people. That in itself was new. I saw a report just this past week from the wildfire community, talking about the fire in Paradise and how you know, the fuel load around it and how dangerous it all was. And they highlighted that there's over 400 other communities just like that or in worse shape in the Midwest and the West, mainly out in the West, and in Oregon and Washington and California and down in Arizona. And and you know, that is how it is. Six years ago, when the Granite Mountain Hotshots got burned over trying to defend Yarnell, Arizona. Yarnell, smaller town than Paradise, but two-thirds of it got burned up. Not all of it, but two-thirds of it down in Arizona. And so these things that we're seeing, they are new things. They have been built upon and built upon what we've seen in the past, but they're worse. They're coming stronger. We've talked about that. Many people, even in the fire industry, have talked about this strange fire behavior. How it the last few years it is doing things that it didn't do in the last 100 that no one can remember. And I firmly believe that it's the wrath of God. God is patient, not wanting any to perish, but wanting all to come to repentance. And He's patient, waiting on repentance. But that only lasts so long. And I think we are seeing almost a replay of these plagues, fire, and you know, you read Deuteronomy 28 about or Joel about the locust of Joel coming in, consuming everything that you have. We're seeing that mainly in California. but all over the country, the invading force that's coming in. Like you mentioned, Tim, the weather extremes. Will the people awaken?
Oh yeah.
Will they see this for what it is and obey and repent? Come out of her, my people. That call goes out once again. Some will, some won't.
Well, on an encouraging note, I don't know if you guys had seen that or not, but Thursday the AG Barr and the U.S. Justice Department announced that it was reinstating the death penalty.
I saw that.
I don't know if you guys have seen that. They scheduled 5 death row inmates. I read those inmates' crimes, and it was like, wow. Certainly worthy of that. But I think that when you consider the fact that for 20 years there's been nothing on any of those violent crime death rows, and I seen that Trump had called for increasing use of the death penalty for drug traffickers and mass shooters. And when we consider all these horrific murders and sex crimes that go along with it involving that, we see those things. It's like, and we know what our Bible says about that. And it talks about that plague in you if you don't do that. That'll be amongst us. It's another one of those plagues, and I just thought it was an encouraging thing to see personally. I mean, it's like, oh well, there needs to be, yeah, we need some godly justice and some godly for the victims and their families and those things that goes on when we see that. So I just think that's another sign for their destruction when we see those things going on. And I know a lot of people don't think things are moving fast enough, but toward where we go, but it's the continual march of getting back to God's way of doing things.
Yes.
That will go on. I mean, that will renew our nation before the Lord. So I think that I just thought it was encouraging.
Yes. Well, Tim, I've always thought, you know, it's the heart of the people that has to change. You can have whatever laws you want, whether we reinstitute capital punishment or not, but it's the heart of the people that has to change. I'm all for a wall. I am all for capital punishment because I know that it works. But I like how you said it. It's a step. It's a journey back to God and back to having His laws, statutes, and judgments as the law of the land. And that's a process. It's been a multi-generational process to change it, to get it out of schools, government, workplaces, homes, churches. And so, you know, it reminds me of when back in the time of the building the wall, they find the law and they read it for like, what, a fourth of the day to the people. You know, 6 hours, 8 hours, they're out there reading it. And then the people are lamenting and weeping and crying out and repenting for another fourth of the day. And that's what it is. The people, their hearts are so far from God, their hearts have to be turned back. With this capital, you know, hey, We sure pray for repentance, but there are some out there that are not going to repent, that cannot repent, that do these things willfully, on purpose, one of the commandments that we are to have, we are told to have justice in the land. Justice. And there is very little of that today. I'm hoping more of it comes back, and that when it does come back, that again is another push, like you said, Tim, in the right direction for God's people to get back to Him when they see that this is good and right, and this helps a godly society. you know, the roaches don't want you stepping on them. I think about Pastor talking about that Men in Black movie. The roaches don't like you stepping on them because they're looking out for their own. And so those that are against the death penalty, I said it earlier, you know, those that love death hate the Lord. And you know, when you remove a murderer, a pedophile, when you remove this kind of filth from your society by killing them, you provide justice in the land. And it's pleasing to God. It is not pleasing to God that we put these filthy murderers and whatnot on death row for 20 and 30 years. That's not pleasing to God. That doesn't, that's not justice. It's not. It's an abomination.
No, it's not. Well, I think that when you look at biblical history, not revisionist history, but when you look at biblical history, those workers of iniquity, those evildoers, they're there. What keeps them in check? I mean, if you have the law of God written on your heart, and if you are serving the Lord and attempting to bring about His kingdom and His, you know, precepts, that you don't do things like that. But so the purpose of these sorts of things is to either drive those people out or send them. And really, if you get to it, it's been that way throughout biblical history. All those things are there for those workers of iniquity, for those evildoers, to stop that line from going forward and ruling and overcoming us. I would kind of go back and encourage people, as far as the wall goes, to look at there's stories in the Bible about rebuilding the law as they came back, or rebuilding the wall as they came back to God's law. You know, you go back in the Old Testament.
Oh, exactly.
And workers with you, yeah. So it's not without precedent. It's not without examples in the Bible as to how that works and how to get back and how to do that. And I think that you have those workers of iniquity. They hide out. They're a bunch of chameleons, and they hide out in your midst. And that's what those rules are for. That's what those laws are for, is to defend and to destroy and ferret those individuals out so that they don't have the ability to injure the sheep, you know. And we've got to get back to that, because you don't really, you know, until kingdom come, until the Lord returns, I mean, if everybody were to turn and to repent and to turn themselves to the Lord, and I know that's what God wants, but, you know, He also says that's why He's returning, is to judge those individuals who won't. Their time is running out. And, I mean, you can see those things coming. So, no man knows the time of the day, but it's on its way. So, they're running on borrowed time. And, you know, praise the Lord that He's as good as His word.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, and well, I was going to tell everybody, too, before we run out of time, too, we just got the Dragon Slayer Volume 4 hot off the presses. And if you're not receiving that newsletter, you should be. We'll send it to you free of charge. If you'd like a copy of that, you can call the office. You can email me, jason@sfaw.org. You can send us a letter and tell us you'd like to get on that. A lot of good information in there.
Yes.
You know, if you're not on that list, you're not going to receive it. So get on that list, call up, order it, get a sample newsletter sent to you, and we'll get it in the mail to you.
Amen. Amen. We can even email that. We'll get that going. Like Jason said, it's hot off the presses. That thing will be in the mail to you this next week, and we can even email it to you if you want to send us an email. Jason@sfaw.org, preacher@sfaw.org. That'll get it to us, and we'll get that out to you. Well, men, we're about out of time. We do want to invite you to church tomorrow. Folks, you can come gather with the saints. You can come see a Timeless Pulpit Truths. You can come see prophecy that was prophesied maybe 10 years ago, maybe 20, maybe 30 years ago. But we are living in the time that the prophecies that were made are coming true. I don't think there's any other way to say it. We were warned, we were told, we were taught, we were foretold, and what an opportunity, what a blessing to be able to go back and look at it, just like going back and reading through the Word, but being able to go back and look and see 5, 10, 20 years ago the warnings that were given and seeing them come to pass. And so we encourage you to join us for that. We'll have communion, we'll have some music, we'll have a live message, and it, again, is an opportunity. Our pastor saw it years ago as an opportunity for the scattered remnant that are from sea to shining sea and all over the world as well, to gather together in a way of sorts with like-minded Christians and to pray together, to worship together, to partake of communion together. And so the choice is yours. We ask you to join us. The opportunity is there for you to do it. And you can do that by going to scripturesforamerica.org and starting at 8:30 Central, 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and of course that's 7:30 on the West Coast. And join us right there, scripturesforamerica.org. Click on the live video stream, and it'll be broadcast on the internet, on the shortwave as well. So we encourage you to do that. Well, men, thanks so much, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling,
rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, Snake High. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, Snake High.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out.
Ride them out, ride them more.
Snake High.
Ha! Ha! Keep moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.